therefore we'll join the I deserve this and that bandwagon. When in reality, we don't deserve anything. He doesn't owe us nothing. He's already done it all, just like that song said. He's done more than enough. If God never answered another prayer from me, if He never even heard another prayer from me, I'll be honest with you, I could not complain. God's done more for me than if I had been God, I would have ever done for me. In that He saved me was enough. Matter of fact, it was more than enough. I didn't deserve that either. Neither did you. Job chapter number 5. Pray for our country. Pray for America. I preached about it on the 4th of July or 4th of July weekend. I guess it was the 4th. And we need to get serious about praying for our country. When they're shooting innocent police officers in the middle of the street,
yes, sir,
just to make a statement, somebody's not praying. Somebody's not praying. We need to pray for America. Brother Todd preached a message this morning at Gateway, and I may have to get him, I don't know where he went, I may have to get him to do it here. He preached on his subject, or his title was Lost Lives Matter. Well, if we get our focus in the right place and our energy going in the right direction, we make a difference in this world, amen? If y'all are in Job chapter number 5, say amen.
Amen.
If anybody ever knew trials and tribulation, it'd be this man Job. I've had people tell me before that I say, hey, how you doing? Well, pray for us. We're going through the trials of Job. And I don't mean to be critical, but in my heart I'm thinking, no, you're not. We may be going through some hard times, but not the trials of Job.
Yeah, right.
I don't think since the day I've been saved that the Lord has ever just unleashed the devil on me and let him have his way. And I don't think He has you either. We've seen some dark days and been through some dark times, but to say I'm going through the trials of Job, brother, you better be careful. Job lost it all. In just a matter of a span of time, lost his children, lost his possessions, his cattle, his land, his houses, he lost everything. And then he wounds up in sore boils from head to foot. But yet, in his integrity, Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, I put myself in that position. I don't know if that'd be my testimony or yours. But that's what Job said. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. He said, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My goodness. If we could look to somebody like that for an example and say, Lord, let me handle difficulty like He did. God, give me that kind of mindset and that kind of attitude. We started last Sunday night this little series as a message. I'm going to try to close it out tonight, but we're talking about dealing with injustice. Not being treated fairly and not being treated right. We've got groups that are marching in the street for this cause and for that cause. You know what everybody's wanting? They're wanting rights.
Yes, sir.
You better be careful what you ask for. Asking for what you deserve, you just might get it. Amen. I ain't here to make anybody mad tonight. But we need to be careful. Everybody's talking about not being treated fairly. Got a chip on their shoulder for one reason or the other. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody lied about you. Somebody talked about you on Facebook. Wham, 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 wham. We used to say somebody call the wambulance. Amen. Everybody, I mean, you get God's people together. And if you get God's people to be honest, they're harboring something in their heart where somebody did them wrong. Am I making light of being done wrong? No, I'm not. Last Sunday night, we talked about the reality of injustice. Job said, yet in verse number 7 of chapter 5, He said, yet man is born unto, say it, trouble as the sparks fly upward. We need to understand something. When you and I were born, we were unlike Adam and Eve. We were born into a sin-cursed world. Do you understand that? Just because we're saved does not make us somehow exempt from trouble and from trial. Go to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Keep your Bibles out just for a few minutes tonight. This may take me a little while, but I'm going to give you all I got tonight. Amen. John chapter number 15. I want you to look at verse number 20. John chapter 15 and verse number 20. Say amen when you get there. John chapter 15. It'd help if I'd get in John. I'm looking at Luke and I'm thinking, that ain't right, man. Bear with me. I'll say amen when I get there. How about that? Amen. John chapter 15 and verse number 20. That looks familiar. The Lord said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus said, boys, you might as well face it. If they're going to give me, the Lord, a hard time, in life they're going to give you a hard time. Amen. Amen. I mean, I don't mean this harshly, but sometimes we're like thumb-sucking babies. Somebody stole our toy. Amen. Amen. Somebody broke in line. Y'all okay? I got cussed out, I mean literally, in Walmart. I was out of town with Brother Tony Shirley, and we went to Walmart to get some stuff to have in the hotel room, and I went to that self-checkout thing. You know what I'm talking about? Where you have to, I hate them things. Give me a human being that knows how to ring something up. Amen. I never get one of them that works. So anyway, I'm just walking through there, and I'm talking to Tony. I ain't paying attention, but I cut in front of this lady. I didn't even know I'd done it. And I heard her just a cussing. I said, Tony, that woman's upset about something. He said, she's cussing you. I said, ma'am, I didn't know I stepped in front of you. And boy, she just kept mouthing off. I said, well, go on ahead. You know, over a checkout line. Grown people crying like children over the stupidest little thing. But yet then sometimes we have grown people who are harboring bitterness and hurt in their heart over real things. Amen. That we need to deal with. That breaking in line stuff, I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time for that. Go ahead. Go in front of me. You want to go. Go. I mean, we got people in this town, Lord help them, they can't navigate a three-way stop. They can't do it. I mean, they just can't do it. And I just sat there and go ahead. some things ain't worth getting upset over. But some things are real. And some things are damaging. And we need to realize they happen. And they happen to good people. We don't live in an ivory tower. We don't live in a gated community somewhere. And even if we did, we'd hurt one another. Amen. Amen. Look at John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Look at verse number 33. John chapter 16, last verse. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He said, in the world ye shall have, say it with me, tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, you're going to have trouble. Now look at me now. He said, you're going to have trouble, but I've already overcome the trouble you're going to have. Man, if we can get a hold of that last part of that verse. I remember there was a saying when I was in school. We was playing ball, and if we got struck out or whatever, man, our teammates would pat us on the back and say, man, don't worry about it. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. In other words, don't get upset. Keep your head up and do your best next time. It don't mean nothing. Amen. We need to develop that attitude. We need to realize that Jesus has already overcome what's killing us in our heart.
That's right.
We looked at this thing of injustice or being treated unfairly last week. We talked about the history of injustice. It's not something new to our society, being done wrong. How many of you been done wrong?
Yeah.
Rest of you lying. Treated unfairly. It's been that way since the dawn of man. Amen. Cain killed his brother. Did his brother do anything to deserve that? No, sir. He is being obedient, doing what he is supposed to do. Amen. It started early, early, early. We talked about Jacob or Israel and his sons and his younger son, Joseph, who the Bible said he loved more than all his children. You know what that did? It created jealousy in the heart of 10 brothers. Jacob was really, really blunt about it. He didn't just secretly love Joseph more than he loved all his other sons. It was openly. He gave him that coat of many colors. That thing showed a position of authority. And them brothers got jealous. Those brothers got angry and they got mad. You know the story. They threw Joseph in the pit and then they sold him into slavery and he wound up at Potiphar's house and then he wound up in the prison. Long way around the barn, but he wound up in the palace.
Yeah.
And we looked at that thing last week. We talked about other people, Daniel. All Daniel did was pray. That's all he did. He just prayed. And he got thrown to a den of lions. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All they did was refuse to worship a false god. And they got thrown in a fiery furnace. Do you know what they found out? Everywhere they got put into trouble, they were not there by themselves. Remember what Jesus said, I have overcome. In the world you'll have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Amen. The history of injustice in our country. I know this crowd's marching up and down the street and they're pitching a fit and they're acting a fool, if you will. Amen. Are y'all okay? I'm not prejudiced. I'm not racist one bit. That stuff just ain't right. There had nobody in this country ever treated more unjustly than the American Indian.
That's right. Amen.
Nobody ever treated more unjustly than the American Indian. I won't go back into all of it, but we talked about Crazy Horse last week and Sitting Bull. And Ulysses S. Grant, our president, what he did to them. It was awful, man. It was awful. When they couldn't shoot them out, the government started paying cowboys to go out there and kill the buffalo. They nearly made them extinct. You know why they killed all them buffalo? So the Indians wouldn't have nothing to eat. Forced them onto a reservation. Then they put up a ploy or a setup deal to have Crazy Horse come and talk with a treaty officer. And all they really did, they was luring him into their little realm of soldiers so they could kill him. And they killed him for nothing. You want to talk about being treated unfair? Man, it's been all through history. And if it's happened that far through history, it's going to happen now. And we're going to be treated unfair and we're going to be treated unjust. We talked about injustice in history. We talked about injustice from the heathen. Do not expect this world to treat you right. I told you last week when I got called to preach, I thought, man, everybody loves preachers. That'd be the greatest job in the world. Everybody don't love preachers. Are you listening? Some people hate them. Amen. I've been introduced to people before and they jokingly say, oh, hold your wife and grab your wallet. I'm telling you, that breaks my heart when that's what they think of God's men.
Yeah.
They might have been some messed up like that with money and women, but all God's men ain't that way. Amen. So I'd say that's an unfair statement, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Amen. The heathen ain't going to treat you right. Oh, they blowed me up on Facebook and on the internet and all that stuff. I don't pay that stuff no attention. There was a whole Villarica, I don't know what they call it, Villarica something, a blog or whatever. And everybody got on there talking about me and talking about our church. And it was all just blatant lies. Somebody said, what'd you do? We'll get to that shortly. I did what I was supposed to do. I went and whooped every one of them. No, I didn't. We talked about injustice in history from the heathen, and then sadly but true, there's injustice even in our homes. Even in our homes. If we're not careful, by being unfair to our children, we put something in their heart. It does not give them an excuse to act out. Or to, you ever seen that one kid that is horrible just to get attention? Y'all know what I'm talking about? If bad attention's all they can get, they'll take it. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in my own family, where one child was elevated above another child. One child was actually to the point of abused. And the child grew up with hatred and bitterness and anger in his heart. Grown man today, still that way. Still that way. The reality of injustice. We have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. And when it happens and it comes our way, we shouldn't go, I can't believe somebody do me this way. People do you any kind of way. Do you understand that? We got men in our church. Brother Todd did a job. I think this was right after he went to work for the police or right before. He did a job. They painted, him and Judd painted an entire house for a wealthy man. Painted his whole house. That man never intended to pay them. Probably still hadn't until this day. He said, sorry. Well, that's bad, ain't it? When somebody's having their own hard times and then they have to go out of their own pocket and buy all the material and somebody never intended to pay them to begin with. Don't be shocked when we get done wrong. Don't be shocked when we get cheated, when we get lied to, when we get talked about. It's going to happen. I've always said this and laughed it off, but I'll be honest with you. I've always said, well, if they're talking about me, they're giving somebody else a break. But it does hurt my feelings. Are y'all all right? It does. Especially when it's people that you love. People that you cared for. People that you've done everything in the world to help. And yet they come at you, and well, they don't come at you personally. They go behind the scenes and yada, 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 yada. And it hurts. But if I'm not careful, I'll let that create something in my heart to keep me from loving anybody else. Tonight, last week, and I just kind of ran over what we talked about last week. We talked about the reality of injustice. Tonight, I want to talk about the roots of injustice. Where does it come from? What makes people so stinking mean and angry? I believe there's an answer. I believe, number one, root of injustice is unfairness. They react, they are reacting to the way that they were treated. Our society's got an excuse for everybody who does something wrong. Oh yeah. Well, his mama didn't love him. I had a man in my office. I've had it several times, but I had one man in particular. Him and his wife was about to get divorced, and she said, well, he never tells me he loves me. And I looked at him, and I said, well, he said, well, my daddy never said it to my mama. I said, well, because your daddy was an idiot, don't give you an excuse to be. Amen. I don't care how much money you bring home, how pretty a house you build, that little woman wants to hear you love her. Amen. 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 And we want to blame our injustices that we inflict on somebody else to what was done to us way back when. Amen. I'm this way because my daddy was that way. Or I'm this way because my mama was that way. And if you'll watch and you'll study people's lives as I have, you'll see, and I'm looking at adults now who used to be kids, and they act just like their mama or just like their dad. Are we okay? People act unfairly because they've been treated unfair in the past. But you got to realize something. We're going somewhere tonight. You're saved.
Amen.
And that makes a difference. Listen, in Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers thought that they had been treated unfairly. I know his brothers, most of them were rotten. But listen to me carefully. If you were in that family, would you be jealous of Joseph?
Yeah.
Come on, think about it seriously. Especially if you're that older brother and this little punk kid comes along and he has some authority over you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd want to stomp his guts out.
Yeah.
Amen. I would want to stomp his guts out. I know a family tonight that's got several boys, and one of the boys in the family, the other siblings behind mom and daddy's back, call him the godchild. Is that the kid's fault? No. It's the parents' fault. Sometimes we act unjustly to others because of the way we've been treated in the past. Now, did Joseph deserve what his brothers did to him? Not at all. Not at all. Did their father? I think they were just as angry at their father as they were their little brother. Because they went back and convinced their father. They killed a goat and put blood on that coat of many colors that his daddy so proudly gave his son. And he went back and said, here, this all's left. They went back and allowed their daddy to believe that the son he loved more than he loved them. Sounds like a little bit of revenge. Doesn't it? Maybe we've never went to that extent. But how far have we gone? If we're not careful, we can allow things to influence our life. If we're not careful, and we allow these things to influence our life, they start to rule our life. Another root of injustice is not only unfairness, but I believe for the child of God, the biggest root of injustice in our life is unawareness. Not understanding, listen to me carefully, God's in control. Do you understand that? God is in control. And we need to understand that at all times. God knows what He does. I'm not saying God did everything to you. Now, I'm not saying it was God's plan for somebody to cheat you or lie to you or hurt you in some way. I never said that. God gave man a will and man's stupid all by himself. He doesn't need God's help to do that. Somebody say amen right there. People will lie, cheat, and be nasty and mean without God even in the equation. And God's not in heaven striking everybody with lightning that's about to do His children wrong. No, He told you they was going to do you wrong. But we forget sometimes who we are. I'm a child of God. Amen. And we need to be careful about this thing. We need to know, listen, Joseph understood that principle. Joseph, of all people in the Bible who could have got angry and bitter and nasty but never did. Man, that boy was done wrong time after time after time. His brothers sold him into slavery. He wound up in this guy named Potiphar's house and his wife accused him of trying to rape her. When Joseph didn't know such a thing, he acted with integrity. Hurt her feelings that he didn't want her. Hurt her feelings that he wouldn't do wrong and lay with her. So she made up this story. So what happens to Joseph? He gets thrown in prison. In prison, this baker and butler have a dream, and Joseph interprets them dreams and says, hey, when you get out, remember me. They didn't. They didn't. It wasn't until years later. Finally, one of them said, hey, I remember this guy. And all that time, Joseph doesn't know the palace is coming. He doesn't have a crystal ball somewhere. He doesn't know where all this is leading to. But yet somehow in his mind and in his heart, he knows God's still in control. And God's still hearing him. And God's still speaking to him and giving him interpretation of dreams. He knows that somehow God's working behind the scenes. Have you ever had God in your life take a bad situation that you thought might destroy you and it worked out for what? Good. Have you ever had that happen? I wonder how many times the good would have came, but we reacted in a bad way instead. I think sometimes people are unjust or unfair. Because we don't realize that God's in control. If we're unaware that God is at work, we can fall victim to bitterness. I guarantee you everybody in this room dealing with it in some way, shape, or form. somehow or another, somebody, everybody in this room has dealt with or is dealing with, probably is dealing with bitterness. Bitterness will kill you. Bitterness is worse than any of the junk y'all got hooked on. Y'all okay? Yeah, but drugs are bad. Yeah, they are. But bitterness is worse. Alcohol, bro, that's bad. Yeah, it's bad, but bitterness is worse. Prescription medicine, boy, it's a killer. Yep, so is bitterness. Bitterness kills slowly, but surely. It'll destroy your heart. It'll rob your joy. It'll wreck your life. It'll cause you not to have correct relationship with your family. Are we okay? Turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm going to move through this as quickly as I can tonight, but I want to give you all of it, and I want you to listen carefully. Take notes. Not the normal kind of preaching, but it'll help you. I promise if you'll get this, it'll change your life. Hebrews chapter number 12. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Look at verse number 15. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any, say it with me, root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If we're unaware that God will somehow work this thing out to my good, and we react, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, we don't know what kind of blessings we're missing. We don't know what God's doing. We don't know how God can turn a situation around, something that's bad, and turn it out to be good. You don't know what that bad thing that happened to you, how many people the Lord might let you minister to down the road because you've been where they are. Do you understand when people come to me for counseling about certain things, I don't try to help them? I don't. I say, look, I'll talk to you, but I know somebody who can help you better than I can. Because they've been where you are, and they know exactly what you're going through, and they'd love to help you and tell you how they made it through it.
Amen.
Amen. You wouldn't believe how many people who have been hurt or wrong have been able to help somebody else. But before you never help somebody else, you've got to figure out how to help yourself.
Amen.
You can't help nobody when you're bitter.
Amen.
You can't help nobody. Your advice will be kill them. I tell you what I'd do if I had to do it over again. I'd get a gun and I'd kill them. Y'all okay? And I could name a bunch of different things, but I don't want you to think about what I might say. I want you to think about the injustice that's been done in your life and in your heart. And you've got to have to figure out how to deal with it. Because if you don't, here's what this thing does. It's perpetual. It's perpetual. All right? I do Brother Freddie wrong. I mean bad wrong. I cheat him out of money. I wouldn't get a whole lot, would it, brother? I cheat him out of money. I lie about him and I do him wrong. Well, he gets bitterness in his heart. And he don't get that thing dealt with. So down the road, he's going to do the same thing to Jason. You see that pattern all through the Bible. He's going to do the same thing to Jason. Jason don't get it dealt with. And Jason don't get that thing out of his heart. He's going to turn around down the road and he's going to do it to Clint. It just keeps going and going and going and going and going. Somebody's got to break the cycle.
Amen.
Somebody's got to break the cycle.
Amen.
I love my daddy. My daddy's in heaven.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. My daddy and I had a good relationship before he died. And I thank God for it. There was a time when we didn't. But I remember when I got married, I never had a daddy growing up at home. I got to see daddy sometimes every other weekend, and I didn't have a daddy. And I remember I purposed in my mind, I didn't know what to do as a husband, but I knew what not to do.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. I made up my mind, I'm not going to follow that pathway. I'm not going to follow that. And I very easily could have. I could have used the same excuse that everybody else did. Well, my daddy did this and my daddy did that. So therefore, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Somebody's got to stand up as a child of God and say, it stops here.
Amen.
I am not passing this to my children.
Amen.
and to my grandchildren and to my great-grandchildren. And that thing will happen. You look at people's life, people are bitter and angry. I guarantee you they got a bitter and angry parent. And I guarantee you that parent, that child has got a bitter and angry grandparent somewhere down the line. That thing just goes right on down. It's like hereditary. Amen. Our children pretty well will grow up and act the way they're treated. Amen. I didn't say don't discipline your kids. Whoop a fire out of them. But do it with the right spirit. And do it for the right reason. You abuse your kids, I'll call defects myself. Let me just reiterate right here. You abuse your kids when you don't correct them. Amen. I flew on the airplane several years ago with a center field coach. He was a center fielder for the Boston Red Sox. And we sat together and we was talking. And he from Greenville, South Carolina, just as nice a guy as you'd ever want to meet. And we were sitting there. I noticed he had on that World Series ring. And I said, man, who are you? And he told me his last name, I think it's Jim White. His last name was White. I can't remember. Was it Jim? Anybody know? Anyway, big old black guy, arms about that big around. And I was looking at that World Series ring. I said, man, who are you? And he told me, he said, what's your name? I said, you don't know who I am? I said, man, you are sitting next to Eddie White. He said, oh, I did. I'm honest. That's what I said. Just making conversation, having a good time. But this was about the time all that was going on with Michael Vick. Y'all remember that? And the dog fighting and his little brother stomping people on the head in the football field and all that stuff. I said, what's wrong with them boys? He said, I'll tell you right quick what's wrong with them boys. He said, their mama didn't whoop them enough. That's what he said. He said, their mama didn't whoop them enough. He said, now they got enough money to show how much character they really got. I thought, wow, preach, brother. So sometimes we abuse our kids by not correcting our kids.
That's right.
But let's be careful and let's make up our mind. We're going to stop this thing here and now. We talked about the reality of injustice, the roots of injustice, and I'll give you this and I'm done. This will be the longest part of the message, I guess. But I want to talk about our reactions to injustice. Our reactions to injustice. You get done wrong, you react. I guarantee you, you do. I do. You react in one way or the other.
That's right.
We can do right or we can do wrong. Amen?
Yes, sir.
There is a personal response. A personal response. We get a little bit of the me attitude. Well, this ain't fair. Somebody done me wrong. Somebody hurt me. Somebody broke my heart. Wow. And all that thing's doing, we're focusing on ourselves. We're losing focus on everything that's important in our life. And we're having our own little pity party, having our own personal reaction or response to what's been done to us. Maybe you were done wrong as a child. Maybe you were abused as a young lady. Are you going to allow that to ruin the life of your daughter? We got to be careful with that personal response. We react when we should act. You know the old saying, I don't get mad, I get even. Anybody ever said that? I don't get mad, I get even. I got news for you. No, you don't. No, you don't. Brother Todd's my son-in-law. And if we had some kind of business deal together, and he did me bad wrong, and I shot him, am I even? Think about it. I'm not even. I'm not even at all. I heard about a grandmother whose son and daughter-in-law were going through a divorce. The daughter-in-law's living at the mother's house, her mother's house. She goes over there to get the grandbabies, puts the grandbabies in the car, walks back in the house, and unloads a pistol on her daughter-in-law. Whether her daughter-in-law was doing right in the marriage is beside the point. What did she just do? She just ruined any chance of a reconciliation between her son and his wife. And she just wrecked the lives of her grandbabies. Let me say it again. You don't get even. It never works that way. You get on Facebook and make up your mind, well, I'll fix them. You ain't fixing nothing. You know what you're doing? You're starting a fire. And it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And now you're getting more people involved in your situation. You're not getting even. You're making a matter worse. Be careful when you take everything personally. Remember, there's others in your life that matter more than what somebody's done to you. Are we okay? It just continues the cycle. It just goes and goes and goes. There's a personal response. We don't want to do that. But then there is a principled response. God's people ought to have some principles. And we're living in a day when they don't. What are principles? Well, they're kind of some rules to live by. Are you listening? They're kind of the guardrails to keep us on the road of life. They're speed limit signs and red lights. They're principles for life. And you better have some. And you better set some up in your life or life will devour you. Now let me tell you something. It's not easy to do right. Are you listening? It's not easy when somebody prints something off of a computer screen and it's full of lies about you, full of lies about your ministry. It's not easy to not attack. It's not easy to say, come on, big boy, bring it on. Put a face on your computer. Come meet me right here nose to nose. My heart wants to say, I'll stomp you in Jesus' name. Am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
It's not easy to always do right. But we ought to have some principles about us. Listen, we need to realize our responsibility. We need to realize our responsibility. I believe Joseph had a choice. Joseph had a choice. We're going to look at him a little bit more in a minute, but if you know the story about Joseph, he answers that dream and he predicts that there's going to be 7 years of good. There's going to be 7 years of blessing. Then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So you ought to put up during the 7 years of goodness and prepare for the 7 years of famine. Boy, that thing comes true. He's set up over the kingdom. Who comes crawling to buy food? The same brothers that throwed him in the pit. Now, I'll be honest with you. He's in control. He's the man in Egypt. He's large and in charge. The flesh says, yeah, come on up here. I knew my day had come. Bow down to me, you bunch of wicked. Oh, I'd have milked that thing. Don't look at me like that, you would too. Joseph had a choice. He could have had their heads chopped off right there where they stood. And nobody had questioned him a word. But he didn't make that choice. And I'm glad he didn't. Because he sure gave us a great example. In our country, we're living the golden rule in reverse. Do unto others as they do unto you. That's not Bible. Let me say it again. That's not Bible. And it's the farthest thing from it. Go to Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14. Listen, by nature, our hearts feel that way. You do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. You hurt me, I'll hurt you back. That's human nature, is it not? But listen, we're saved. There's somebody else living on the inside of us. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't protect your family. Protect your family by all means. Are you listening? There's a difference in responding correctly and responding wrongly.
Amen.
Don't come in my house and try to take my wife.
Amen.
Don't put your hands on my grandbabies.
Amen.
I'm just saying. I'll protect them.
Amen.
And I ain't got to much worry about that. Their mamas will claw your eyes out. Amen.
Amen.
And if they don't, I know their Nina will. You mess with them, she's in the nursery, I'll go get her. Amen. You mess with me, I'll go get her. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse number 12. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. Now watch this. He said, so then every one of us shall give an account of, say it with me, himself to God. Now say it with me. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord says, all right, what about this bitterness? Eddie, what's this going on in your heart? Well, Robbie, I'm not judging Robbie right now. You got to give an account of yourself to God. I'm not going to get to tell God how somebody else acted. He knows. I'm going to have to answer to God for how I reacted. Are we okay? When somebody does me wrong, oh yeah, by nature, beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah.
By nature, get even.
Amen.
And if you say, I don't get mad, I get even. No, you do get mad.
Yeah.
You say you don't, you're lying. I still get mad. The Bible said, be angry and sin not.
Right.
I'm not saying you should be so spiritual that things doesn't fire you up every now and then. A little righteous indignation will do you good. Amen. We ought to get fired up about some things. I'm mad about them shooting them cops. That's absolutely senseless. I'm mad about them marching in Atlanta. What good is it to march in Atlanta over a crime that happened in Louisiana? I'm mad about it. I ain't going to go shoot nobody. I ain't going to go kill somebody. And that's what I heard somebody say yesterday. What they ought to do is shoot a bunch of them. No, man, that ain't the answer. Maybe if they get a hold of the one that's shooting, killing cops while he's doing it, yeah, kill him. Some of y'all need to swallow real hard. Killing him ain't the answer. That's doing the same thing they're doing. Well, well. We're going to give an account of ourselves. I'm not going to answer for the Black Panthers. Nor no other movement, the gay rights, the pro-choice. I'm not going to answer for them. I remember back several years ago, people blowing up abortion clinics. Well, that helped, didn't it? That fixed it all, didn't it? Kill the abortionist. They're making them every day. They're graduating medical school every day. You ain't going to kill all the abortionists. You know what you're doing? You're showing how stupid people can be. It's not the answer. We're going to answer for ourselves every single time. But listen, there's hope for us because we're saved. We don't have to react that way. Even though sometimes we choose to. Bless God. Don't bring Him into it. I've heard people say that over and over. Bless God, I'll do this. Bless God. You better leave the Lord out of it. He ain't got nothing to do with it. Look at Matthew chapter number 7. I'm almost done tonight. Matthew chapter number 7. If you ain't never been done wrong, this probably ain't helping you a bit. And you probably ain't lived over 2 days. But if you've lived half as long as I have, somebody ain't done you right. I was amazed as a young pastor, just in my 20s. My wife and I started dealing with people and listening to stories. I had no idea, and I got to be careful, but I had no idea how many women that I pastored had been mistreated as a girl. Now, I'm being careful right there. I had no idea how many lives that sickness had touched. And I had no idea what it did to the hearts of those women. No idea. And men still can't fully understand. That stuff's wicked, man. And I'm telling you, you got to learn how to respond to it. If you don't, it'll kill you. I had no idea how many boys had been messed with. I had no idea. No earthly idea. People dealing with some real hurt and some real heartache. I had no idea how many husbands cheated on wives and wives cheated on husbands. I had no idea. I lived in a bubble, I guess. And I really thought Christians didn't do that. Listen to what the Lord said in Matthew chapter number 7. Listen, I'm telling you, there's hope for us. Matthew chapter number 7, look at verse number 12. The Lord said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. There's your golden rule. Treat everybody, regardless of how they're treating you, like you won't be treated. That's a tough one, ain't it? You can say amen all day long. That's easy to preach, hard to live.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
But there's hope for us. Now listen. You can't say that to an unsaved man. You can't say that to an unsaved lady. They do not have that capability. All they have is that old nature. And that old nature says, bless God, I'll show you. You won't ever hurt me again. Are we okay? They don't have that option. But Jesus, if He tells us we can, mark her down. We can. If He tells us we can do right, we can do right. With God, all things are possible. Greater is He that is in me than He is in the world. Some of this ain't sitting well with some of you, I know. But it's just the Bible. I said there's a personal response and a principled response. And that principled response, we need to realize our responsibility. That's to do right. Secondly, we need to... you ain't going to like this one. We need to refuse to retaliate. We need to refuse to retaliate. When all that stuff was being said about me, somebody asked me, what are you going to do? I said, I ain't going to do nothing. I didn't do nothing to start with. I'm not entertaining that junk. I'm not entertaining that junk. Did it hurt? Yeah, it did. But I didn't let it consume my life. If I'd have stuck my feet in that water, I'd have got neck deep. And you will too. That thing just snowballs and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So you know what I did? I just didn't do nothing. You know what happened? It went away. It just stopped. Why? Because I didn't throw no fuel on the fire. I could have got on there and said, you bunch of stinking liars. You don't know nothing about our church. They were saying stuff about our church. It was evident they'd never been here. They were saying stuff like, oh, if you got a tattoo, you're not allowed in that church. I thought, dude, I got grannies with tattoos. Hey, they ain't never been here. If you got on a pair of jeans, you're not allowed in that church. That was the kind of stuff it was. So what am I going to do? Get on there and go, no, man. I got a church to pastor. I got a family to care for and to love. I ain't got time to entertain that kind of garbage. Amen. Amen. Refuse to retaliate. And I know that's our first response. Draw up. Punch somebody out. Amen. Christians, we ought to be a little bigger than that.
Amen.
Well, I ain't going back there. Who are you cheating?
That's right.
Well, I'm mad at Brother Eddie. I ain't going back. Look around you. I could start naming families right now who are out of church and who have been out of church, and their children are raised out of church. They've wound up with gay children and children that are just, I mean, all lost. They're on their way to hell. All because they got their feelings hurt. And I don't intentionally hurt nobody's feelings. That's not my, I don't pride on hurting somebody. I don't do that. But I'm human just like you are. That mom and dad get mad and quit going to church. Hey, man, they're saved and on their way to heaven. What about their kids? Look at the influence you have in your life. Be careful. Refuse. Make up your mind. I'm just not going to. Go to Romans chapter number 12. Last verse. No, not quite. Romans chapter number 12. Have I been going too long? Romans chapter number 12. Watch this. We know these verses. And that's sad. We know a lot of Bible, but live so little of it.
Amen.
Can I say that? We pride ourselves. Oh, we're King James. We're King. Yeah, we are. We're 100% King James. We believe it. I believe the maps. I believe it's King James Bible. I'm a King James man. I'll die King James. You won't never convince me. I can tear them other versions all apart and show you where they messed up from the floor up. I'm a King James man. And if I can quote it from cover, what if I could stand here tonight and quote Scripture like Sammy Allen? Wouldn't that be something, man? Man, he don't preach, he just quotes Scripture. For 45 minutes. He's like, whoa, man. What good is it if you know all that Bible and live none of it? And whoa. I'm not saying that about Brother Sammy. That's one of the godliest men I ever knew. Don't take that out of context, please. I'm afraid God strike me dead right here in this pulpit. I'm not dishonoring him. I'm just talking about us. What good is it to know all this book and do so little with it? God gave it to us for a reason. Why? That we could take these biblical principles and apply them to our life. I'm telling you, this will make your family life sweeter. Amen. This make your work life a whole lot better. Amen. How you work a public job, you deal with people with a chip on their shoulder every single day. And you think, man, what happened to him? And I wonder how many times they look at you and go, man, what happened to him? What'd they put in his cornflakes? Y'all all right? Where'd I tell you to go? Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 19. This is another one of them hard verses, but it's Bible. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So what are we supposed to do when we get done wrong? Trust God. Let the Lord handle it. Have you ever got mad because he wasn't handling it quick enough? I've quoted that verse to him. I promise you I have. I've said, Lord, now you said you'd repay. And they living high on the hog. When you gonna kill them? I've prayed, Lord, get them, kill them, string them up, give them cancer. That's horrible, ain't it? But in that, we're not trusting God. According to that verse right there, I'm supposed to say, okay, Lord. What did he say? I'm going to dust the dirt off my feet. I'm going to dust that off, and I'm going to go on with my life. And I'm not going to let that destroy me. And I'm not going to let that affect my family. Refuse to retaliate. Realize our responsibility. Lastly, and I'm done. Remember, God's in control. Just remember, God's in control. Has He done good by you so far? Has He been better to you than you deserve?
Amen.
He can handle this situation too.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, last two scriptures in Genesis. Genesis chapter number 50. In the end of this whole Joseph and his brother's situation, I want you to look what he says to his brothers in Genesis chapter number 50. Look at verse number 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. Verse number 19. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." Stop right there. You know what Joseph's saying? Don't be afraid. I'm where God wants me to be. I'm in the place of God. I'm in the will of God. He said in verse number 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Go to Genesis chapter 45 and I'm done. Listen to me. There is no way Joseph knew this day was coming. While he's sitting in that lonely prison cell, and I can imagine, I put myself in his shoes, I can see myself saying to God, "This ain't right. I ain't never did anything but what you told me. I never said anything to my brothers but what you showed me. I didn't do anything. Lord, I didn't have no intentions to put my hand on Potiphar's wife. Lord, I don't deserve to be here." Wouldn't you? Man, here he is standing before his brethren, the brothers that did this very thing to him. Robbed him from the love of his father. Sent him into a far country amongst a bunch of heathen. He looked at his brothers and said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Genesis chapter 45, and I'll be done. Genesis chapter number 45. Look at verse number 8. This is back when Joseph is first revealing himself to his brothers. This is where he couldn't refrain himself anymore. He calls everybody out to go with him, go out from him, and he took off the veil and showed his brothers who he was. Let's back up. Let's see. Verse number 5. Verse number 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you," and they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt." Stop right there. Can you imagine the look on their faces? Can you imagine the thoughts in their minds? "We've had it. The chickens has come home to roost. We're standing before the man." And I wonder if they might have remembered that dream Joseph told them about their sheaves bowing before his sheaf, which they're seeing come to pass. I wouldn't have wanted to have been in their shoes. In verse number 5, he said, "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be airing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance." "So now that it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Wow. What an attitude. He didn't even fuss at them. I believe this is one of the reasons why they say Joseph is such a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times have you been unfair to him? If you were him, how many times would you have said, I'm done with you? But yet he treats us like this every time we come back. And he forgives us and he loves us. Oh, what a Savior. And I'm supposed to be becoming more and more like him every day. Remember, God's in control. Lastly, learn to rely on God's faithfulness. God's faithful. If you've been saved any length of time, you know he is. You know it's true. God's been faithful. We get impatient. We get mad. We get angry and we get hurt. We get ahead of God sometimes. And I wonder what blessings we're cutting off in our life because we're not having the right response to being cheated or done wrong or treated unjustly. Remember our responsibility. Refuse to retaliate. Remember God's in control and rely on God's faithfulness. If you've been saved any amount of time, what you can do is you can say, I know it'll be all right. It's going to be okay. Dealing with injustice. Brother Todd, you come. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Who are you mad at? Who are you mad at? What bitterness is it in your heart that's just wrenching your life? Are you going to pass that on to your children? What have they done to deserve it? Or will you make up your mind tonight and say it stops here? Now listen to me, you can't do that by yourself. I'm telling you, you've got an option that the world don't have. You've got the Holy Spirit. And he'll help you if you'll rely on him. I promise you, I know from experience, God will take that root of bitterness out of your heart. Man, I'm telling you, thing feels so good, it's like pulling a splinter out of your hand. Whew! Relief. You need to let him help you tonight. Make up your mind. I wonder who, as we stand our feet, I wonder who will get on this altar tonight and say, God, you got to help me, but it stops here. You got to help me, Lord, but it stops here. You mind God tonight. Brother Todd, can you sing a verse?